New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, January 10th. We are happy you are here, and we are happy to talk some wrestling. It's been a big week for the wrestling world with lots and lots of stuff going down. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
A weird day off. Your earphones okay. are still not plugged in.
I will fix that again.
Yes. And I will not talk until you resolve the problem or you mute yourself because Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So they're working now. Thank you, Rob, so much. So as I was saying, a weird day off. It almost never happens. I usually work the day shift on Friday and then I go home and do the show with Rob, but because we're a person short when it comes to my bartending job, and we're filling in the gaps. Hopefully we're back to normal soon. And I realized this today, and it's kind of sad. So, if you know me, you would be absolutely aware that if I'm not working, I do not go out. Because, like, my job, as a bartender, is to socialize with people. And in my days off, I just want to, chill on my couch, not socialize whatsoever. That's probably it. And I got up today, I did some stuff around, the apartment. And then I went to the supermarket to buy some stuff. And then a thought occurred to me, because this may sound really weird to people, but I'm a huge romantic when it comes to love and relationships. The world sometimes crushes this feeling in me a lot, but I will not give up on love whatsoever. And so probably the only way I can meet someone is while going to the supermarket. And today I went to the supermarket and there's a mirror alongside one of the walls in supermarkets. And I saw myself in the reflection. I was like, I look like a homeless person. With my winter coat and my winter's hat and everything, I'm not even kidding. I look like a homeless person. And I'm like, how am I supposed to, find love when I look like that? This is not usually how I look like. And because it's winter, can it already please be April so I can look like a normal person when I go out? Please. I do not think that I'm at that stage of my life where I get a bunch of cats. I'm not at that stage of my life anymore. So let's not do that. And, because I usually share these thoughts with my friends. So I share this on Facebook because Bulgarians still use Facebook. And then all of my friends, quotation marks, go like, vodka can resolve all these issues and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, just go screw yourselves. I quit drinking almost 3 years ago. So let's not do that anymore.
What happened? True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love and then you catch the early flight from San Diego and a couple of nude people jump out in front of you, blindfolded, like a goddamn magic show, ready to double team your girlfriend. That's love. That's what you think you have.
Yeah, where did you read that from?
Old school. Like, that's kind of what it's from. I didn't get the exact quote right, but it's pretty close. I mean, there you go. Blue, you're my boy. I got that part right, I know.
Yeah. Okay, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, you need to watch it. It's that's a good romantic film, if you like.
I'm sure all of your romantic movie, ideas are always...
Yeah, end with hub.com. On point. But
yeah, just always on point. Guys, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for being here. Please leave a like on the video. This is the most direct way in which you can support us. Rob and I have, some exciting news about, your Super Chat and your Humper Chat donations for this week's show. All of the proceeds will be donated to LA Animal Care and Care Control Centers in LA. So this is a bit horrifying, everything that's happening in California. It's like out of an apocalypse movie, man. Like, it's just not, I'm not used to seeing that. And hopefully, please, everyone stay safe, evacuate. I'm so sorry to all the people who lost their homes, who lost, their, a couple of people died, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a few.
Thoughts go out to all of the victims, all the families, all the Super Chat and Humper Chat donations will be going to animal care centers in LA. So please send us a Super Chat. It's the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. You can also send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. This we do push more because we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. So this means that we will be able to donate more of, a bigger percent of the money. Of course, YouTube gets, cuts a little bit more, of your donations. So Humper Chats are always greatly more appreciated. And in this instance, please also subscribe to Fightful Select, please. Soon to be the best $6 in the business, it's still $5. You can still lock in $54 for the entire year while it's $5. You get a lot of wrestling news. You get to vote on the Fightful Select Fightful Awards that are already done, I think. Yeah, a bunch of, acceptance speeches planned out. But you can definitely vote for next year's Fightful Awards. Again, one of my favorite times of the year. Royal Rumble is coming. There will be a lot of scoops there. A lot of news about contracts. A lot of news about Malakai Black, of course. And that's about it. Help us, donate a bunch of money to...
And today's Cooper Effects came from Ophelia Payne. She's the one that sent it to me. And
oh yes, sweetie, thank you.
Yeah, so just wanted to get that out there. So we have a super chat. Thank you, Mr. Ryan Sullivan. He says,
"Thank you, Ryan, for the generous super chat."
Love is Blind by Eve, but pretty sure only I remember that song. Anyway, here's Animal Money. Thank you very much. We appreciate that more than you know, buddy. But you know
Eve,
that.
Like the pink-haired Eve, right? Like the red, this I Eve, know. Right?
Yeah. So.
I've never heard that song.
Anyways, Maggie, this past Monday was a big... Well, you know what? Let's start from last Friday. We had a big SmackDown.
Yes.
We have a new women's champion in Tiffany Stratton. There's certain times, Maggie, where this is going to sound weird. Okay. There's certain times where I just wish we had like your reactions, like, you know, like for matches.
Without... Yeah, you know, the that, old this times.
Been, this would have been one of those times where I wish we would have had the reaction from you, because I know you would have been excited for this.
I know
you had to be. So I was. And then just a mere few hours later, a guy by the name of Kenneth Omega returned in Tokyo, Japan at the Tokyo Dome and defeated Gabriel Kidd. Now, it was a hell of a match, but what he also did is he helped make a star that night. We already knew Gabe Kidd was going to be a star, but like he put him up there, you know. So
yes,
like he made a big star, and it was so. Kenny Omega is one of those guys where after you watch him, you're kind of like thinking to yourself, man, I forgot how good we had it. You know, like that's how I felt. Like I forgot how good we had it. And yes. Now that he's back, it's good. It's really good to have the man back. And damn, I missed him. So what was your reaction, and when did you finally get to watch that match? I know you didn't get to watch it live, so when did you
I didn't get to, so
my first question is, what was your reaction with Stratton? And then the second, what was your reaction to Mr. Omega?
Yes, this is, I was going to start with a tiffy time. Well, I don't know, initially, because Tiffany has been doing this back and forth with the briefcase and Nia Jax and Candace. Don't get me wrong, I'm so hyped that Candace LeRae is finally getting the spotlight, at least getting pushes in some sort of storyline after them randomly dismissing Indy Hartwell and letting her go and everything. This was the weirdest thing to me, because I thought that they could have helped the women's tag division immensely. I mean, one of the greatest pops of NXT, the middle era of NXT, was when Indy became champion. And like, that was, you know, so heartwarming. And so she's been doing this back and forth with the briefcase. And Candice LeRae is preventing her from cashing in all the time. And Tiffany was like, I just want to be a champion. And I'm like, you go, girl. And so it finally happened. So Naomi was facing Nia for the women's title on this last week's SmackDown. Candace distracts Naomi. Bianca took care of her, you know, around the ring. Tiffany came out. She taunted to cash in. But Nia pinned Naomi. She won the match. And then Bianca delivered the KOD to Nia Jax, right? It was to Nia. Yeah. So she delivered to KOD to Nia. So Tiffany got into the ring, shoved Bianca out of it, and then just did her prettiest moonsault, and she cashed in and she beat Nia. And like, the most important thing is here that, so I'm sorry, I cannot give credit to the person who thought of the meme, but because, you know, going a bit ahead, Rhea Ripley won, you know, the women's championship on Raw. So you have Rhea Ripley on one side and Tiffany Stratton on the other. So she was a punk. She did ballet. What more can I? That was so great to all the Avril Lavigne fans out there. It was incredibly great. I've been so in love with Tiffany Stratton so much. I enjoyed her time with Becky Lynch immensely, because I will never forget the moment Becky Lynch pinned her and Tiffany whispered in her ear, I love you so much. And like, it's, It's really a goosebumps moment for me when someone from NXT gets such a good push and gets a storyline that catches your attention and you get to be invested in it. And
Yeah.
you know, that's yeah, and that's why I was so incredibly hyped for for Tiffany Stratton. So time will tell whatever you know title reign that she gets to have. And from now on, we get to focus on whoever attacked Jade. And I still kind of hope that it's Naomi because for me, this is the only way that's so good.
Barbenheimer is what I saw some people say. So.
Oh yeah, that's that
Yeah.
exactly. This should have happened last week, last year. Yeah, so oh no, two years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. So as I was saying, what was I saying? Oh well, let's read, you know, the you know super chats before we move over to Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty.
We have a very generous monster super chat. Thank you, Ken. He says,
Thank you, Ken, sweetie. We appreciate you.
classy gesture, gang, sending positive vibes and thoughts to those impacted by these fires. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that.
We greatly appreciate your super chat. Thank you, sweetie. Yeah, so we get moving with Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty, both shows for which you did a post show on Fightful. I first of all, you did great.
Thank you.
Because yes, I'm not that familiar with New Japan stuff. I mean, I know the basics. Like I'm an extremely casual viewer for New Japan. It's not something new to me, but I could never speak about storylines because I'm not there for the storylines. I'm there for the wrestlers and everything and for the wrestling matches, but like I have no idea what, you know. So the thing is, I usually enjoy watching Wrestle Kingdom a lot because it's on at a normal time for me. It's on at 10 a.m. But weirdly enough, it was Saturday and Sunday this year, and I was working the day shift. So I got home and I got to watch both shows. Sadly, Wrestle Kingdom wasn't, you know, the pay-per-view that I thought it was going to be, mainly because so the match that I was mostly looking forward to was Zack Sabre Jr. versus Shota Umino. And then the match wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. Yeah. And Rob and I discussed this in DMs. Like we never want to blame anything on wrestlers and everything, but like I guess that Shota Umino is still not that guy yet because I understand what they're trying to do. I understand that every time, and I know that this is kind of sad for New Japan, but like older stars are gone, and like AEW took a bunch of them, and I can understand their frustration, but they have to build their new stars. So what happened at Wrestle Dynasty is that an AEW wrestler built their future star in the eyes of Gabe Kidd. What an amazing match that was. So this was a power cleanser because of, you know, Wrestle Kingdom's main event. Zack Sabre Jr. rocks, by the way. I love you, sweetie. I'm just, you know, it was how long of a match was it? Was it 42 minutes?
Yeah, it went about 42. It went about 20 minutes longer than it needed to.
Yes, the fact of the matter is I understand why the style of wrestling that Zack Sabre Jr. has, I don't know if it fits that match length that they're aiming for. I understand that. But I'm incredibly biased and I will never say no to 42 minutes with Zack Sabre Jr. So, yeah, again, biased. So I'm not the one to talk about that. What pissed me off on Wrestle Dynasty is that Claudio got pinned by Shota Umino, so that's not how you do it. No. And I'm like, whose decision was that? 43 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, Jade Sweetie, again, correcting, you know, our sleepless minds, because it's not just me. My sleep schedule, apparently, is contagious, because now Rob can't sleep. So it's, yes. A bunch of great stuff. Young Bucks are now your IWGP Tag Team Champion. I squeaked, okay? The moment, so guys, they came out to their old school New Japan theme, and I started crying. Like, this is base level BTE right there. I had that song, that melody in my head for like the first couple of months after I started watching BTE. And at first I didn't know what that was. And I'm like, what is this? What is in my head? And then I realized that it was their New Japan theme. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that's fine. So they walked out on that with that theme, and I was preparing dinner at that moment. And I didn't use salt for my eggs. My tears were salt enough. So yeah, the Young Bucks. And then they won the championships, and I was like, and then Kenny Omega. So one con here, one.
Tony.
No. So
Chad. Nick. Sorry. I'm done.
Stop it.
James. Sorry, I'm not.
So I stop.
I am. I'm done now.
Okay. Wrath of?
No, I said I was done.
Okay. I just wanted to fill in the blanks. Yeah, so because I'm so incredibly in love with Battlecry, the theme, I'm now sad because it's gone. And I think everyone should be, because it's such a wonderful, wonderful theme. Yes, Jade, you're absolutely right. Dynasty was way better than Wrestle Kingdom. And I, I didn't want to say that because, again, I'm not a regular viewer of New Japan, and I have no idea if what I was watching was,
well, what you know, like is what you like. So, I mean, if you think a show's better. It doesn't matter if you...
Yeah, but, like, for me, it was better because, you know, there were stars from All Elite Wrestling there, and those are wrestlers that I watch every week, like, two or three times a week. And this is where the bias is. I'm emotionally invested in those wrestlers. The other wrestlers I know and I respect, but, like, I'm not emotionally invested there. This is why I couldn't speak about if Wrestle Kingdom was better or not than Dynasty. That's all I was gonna say. So Kenny was back. Okay, so boo the theme. The theme is really good, but it's not Battle Cry. So again, so he comes out with the huge Omega thing in the middle with his vest and the gear, and I already love the guy. Like, he looks like, I'm sorry, is this God? How can you come back from high verticulitis and look this good? But, like, this is a life-threatening illness, okay? Like, you could have died, and now you come back and look like that. So how is this not godly-like? That's my question. So they start the match, and Gabe Kidd is heavily cheered. And he got out with, you know, the big New Japan logo on his trunks, and everyone started chanting for him. So I didn't know if they were absolutely aware that Kenny Omega was going to get booed, but he got heavily booed. And I was like, this is interesting. This is good because Kenny can work good as a heel or a face.
Correct.
And if you don't know what that terminology is, you now know because of the Netflix Raw beginning, but we're going to talk about it later. So
if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know, yes. So Kenny did his Wrestle Kingdom thing, like when he dove, springboarded off the, you know, the top rope into a table right after, you know, the barricade. This is his Wrestle Kingdom spot. Like he does that every show that he's there. And then he started grabbing his stomach and I'm like, oh no, please don't, just stop. And then I remember Bryan Danielson doing, you know, the thing with his arm. And I'm like, you just fucking stop that. Just you're an asshole for that. And so he started using, do you know that Kenny has this weird squeaky voice when he's a heel?
No, I haven't really noticed.
Yeah, because like, oh, like he does that. Like that's what his voice sounds like. And like he started, you know, shouting at, you know, the boys around the ring that, you know, bring you ice and everything. So he started yelling at them to get him ice. So, and then he kicked one of the boys for taking too long with the ice. And I was like, he did take too long. It was like solid 2 minutes before you gave him ice, having in mind the Gabe kid already got ice. So that's biased. Okay. So he got 100%, you know, I'm behind Kenny there. Like he wasn't a heel. He was taking too long for that ice. So in the end, Kenny won the match. I don't know. Do you remember the year when Kenny Omega faced Will Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, it was a year ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Oh, was it?
2 years ago, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, 2 years. So, oh no, maybe it wasn't 2 years.
I think it was last year.
I don't remember anymore. Yeah, so again, Kenny Omega doing match of the year at the beginning of the year. So probably dial it down, okay?
Oh yeah, well, no, let's see.
2 years ago, right?
I don't know. Now I got to go look at Cage Match.
Yeah, that please. Driving me nuts. Or Jade, you know, with the chat. No, yeah, because Will Ospreay was
the first one?
At Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, that was okay. So yeah, didn't they wrestle 2 years two in ago. A row?
Yeah, but like the second one was over in Canada.
Oh, that was Forbidden Door, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ospreay.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 years ago.
Let's see here. Wrestle Kingdom 17.
Yeah, it was the same Wrestle Kingdom where Mercedes Jesus. Monet it felt like debuted. Last year
for F6.
No. The same year when
it felt like last year.
Oh, it felt like a month ago. Yeah, the same Wrestle Kingdom when Mercedes Monet debuted and gave the money clip to Kairi Sane, who's now in WWE. Yeah, so it was 2 years ago.
My God.
Yes. The odd things I can remember. That's, you know, the weirdest thing. So yes, a huge thank you to Kenny Omega for spoiling match of the year from the beginning of the year. But now all the wrestlers have, you know, something to look forward to doing. And then a bunch of things happened on Dynamite. Before we get started with Dynamite, tell me what you thought about Wrestle Kingdom and Dynasty. I know that you did the post shows, but you know, just share your quick thoughts.
Oh, that's right. And, sorry. Yeah, last year was the triple threat match with Moxley, Ospreay, and Finlay. Damn, mm-hmm. That does not feel like it was that long ago.
I don't even remember that match occurred.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. Like I said earlier, I mean, the Umino match went 20 minutes longer than it needed to. Otherwise, I enjoyed with Zach went, like I said, went 20 minutes longer than it needed to, probably. Otherwise, I enjoyed both shows. I thought they were fun. I thought they were fine. And doing the post shows were great. Doing it, first time I've ever done a show with Lyric from Maps and Graps and Wrestling. I think it's I can't remember the. Just like Lyric Wrestling, I think's her Twitter handle, but Wrestling Wind Down, I think, is what her show is called, maybe, or I don't know. But it was fun doing a show with her, and obviously doing a show with SP3 is always fun. And I actually did his review show or his preview show for this week's New Japan show taking place in San Jose. So, and yeah, it was just a good time, Battle in the Valley, that is. But yeah, it was good.
Exactly like you said, Gabe Kidd is a made New Japan star right now. I understand that a lot of people had their eyes on Gabe Kidd previously. I understand that, but like Rob said, like when we were talking in our chat, now the world is locked their eyes on Gabe Kidd, and that's a wonderful thing, because I will never stop saying this: Gabe Kidd wrestles exactly like he talks, and just look at the guy, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Such great intensity in his eyes and incredible storytelling in the ring. Incredible, incredible. Thank you, Eric, for the super chat.
Yeah, he says, Rob, Maggie, chat, hello. Ken and Ryan, great donation. Here's my donation to the puppies, but not for the one Rob spoke about at the beginning of the podcast. Can Harley Cameron beat Mariah May? Harley Cameron can do whatever she can.
She can. She's our best friend. So she is
our best friend. She's our good friend. Can she? Yes. Will she?
No.
Unfortunately, they won't let her because they know how good she is. So there. But yeah.
Yeah, they're not ready for that star power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So Mariah May will win.
Yes. Which is, yes.
I guess, in the terms, it's what's best for business. Whatever. Yes.
Boo.
But no, Harley Cameron's great. I would love for
absolutely her to win, adore but... that woman. Adore that woman.
Did you see her? I love that song. She was singing with Mariah May. Just good stuff. She's been fantastic.
Absolutely great. She's been killing it. I mean, like, she's most improved. I feel like she's the most improved wrestler of 2024. Yeah, so moving forward with Dynamite, just so we can start chatting about Raw on Netflix. So Dynamite opened up with Will Ospreay and Buddy Murphy, which I had no idea was happening.
So...
because, like, I know you guys see the graphics and the stuff, and, like, I understand, but, like, I'm either working or just not on my phone, like, whatsoever, because I'm going through a phase where I do not touch my phone whatsoever. And then I wake up, make coffee, and then sit down to watch Dynamite, and then Will Ospreay music hits, and I'm like, oh good, we're starting off with a Will Ospreay match again. Like, that's a great way to power up a Dynamite. Let's see who is facing it. And it's Buddy Matthews. And I'm like, absolutely unexpected, great surprise, by the way, phenomenal match, like you would expect. But the interesting part that happened after the match was, first of all, he called him Buddy Murphy. Second of all, he was like, you should get out of...
Wait,
you know,
he did? I did not even catch that.
Yeah, he was like, Buddy Murphy. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthews.
And oh,
I'm
okay. Like, Jesus, I missed it.
Yeah. So he was like, you need to get out of those people's shadows. And it should be your own man. If you want, you can get tag gold with Brody King, but you should get out of Malachi Black's shadow. And I was like, okay. What? And then, you know, I got the news from, you know, the post show on Fightful with Sean and Alex. You know, about the contract situation with Malachi Black. And it's disappointing, man. I don't know, because we're not backstage. We have no idea what's going on. And if it's not reported, and if it's not something that someone says directly in an interview, we see that even that isn't, you know, a credible source of information. Because apparently there are a lot of sides to a story. I adore Aleister Black, Malachi Black, whatever you want to call him. I adore the guy. I love the way he wrestles. I love his storytelling. I love the metal music because I'm a fan. I just don't know what the problem is. I mean, if it's backstage politics, I can understand, because I will never say anything bad about a person that wants to be booked in a certain way, but then he doesn't get to. I'm not in the business. I don't know what it's like. I can only assume that someone thinks that they're treated unfairly. I don't know if it's Tony Khan. I don't know if it's Malachi Black. I just wanted this to work. This is all I'm saying. I wanted it to work because I love the guy. Yeah. And so apparently he's on his way out.
Fightful Select reported yesterday that he may very well be finishing up with AEW again on this week's episode of Dynamite, like you were just talking about. Ospreay defeated Buddy Matthews and encouraged him to step outside of the shadow of Malachi Black. This led to Sean, or Fightful Select, inquiring about Malachi's contract. And he said those that they spoke to were of the belief that he was finishing up with AEW if he hadn't already, but they did not clarify if he'd be appearing on TV again. Fightful previously reported that there were option years after 2024. Tony Khan had previously noted that he had Malachi Black under contract until 2027. But as Sean put in the report on Fightful Select, to be clear, he can't say this is a definite, that Black's contract is up, or that the option had been declined, picked up, or any other transactions have happened. So there you go. He does know that Malachi Black is still on AEW's roster page on their official website, and that Malachi Black is scheduled for a CCW show on January 11th, which is tomorrow. So,
yes. Supi did mention something in the chat. The best way that they can deal with this is do Buddy Matthews. I'm sorry, I said Murphy. It's Will Ospreay's fault. Buddy Matthews versus Malachi Black at Grand Slam in Australia. This is the right way to do that, in my eyes. In Australia, just give Buddy another Australian win, because he won the 205 title in Australia, one of their few shows in Australia that they did. This was my favorite match on the card, by the way, and the biggest pop of the night, clearly, and it was for a 205 guy. I loved House of Black. I'm in the incredible minority here, because people did not like House of Black. And I kind of see why, like, they were some sort of weird booking. But, like, the thing is that the last time we saw House of Black as a whole without Julia Hart, the three of them, they beat FTR. Like, I thought that there was a push coming. And I love the things that they did with the Trios Championships and everything. They just might as well not exist at this moment, because everything with the Death Riders is the weirdest thing. I thought that they were going to be the Death Riders well, I should say I had a dream that they were going to be the Death Riders, but like I don't know anymore. And like I said, it's like this thing when my favorites don't get treated the way I think feel like they should be treated. But it, again, I don't make the decisions. I do not understand what's happening backstage, and I'm not meant to because I'm just a viewer. I'm a fan. So we shall see. Only time will tell what is in the future for Malakai Black. I just really want to see him back. I want to see him wrestle. I adore the guy. And do you remember his WWE theme? Because it was one of my favorites. So
yeah, I do.
Yeah, so imagine 3, 2, 1. No man is ever truly good. No man is ever truly evil. I really like that theme. He's probably not gonna use that theme. Like it's an old school NXT theme, so probably not. I just hope that whatever he lands, he gets the opportunity to do the things that he loves, because I kind of thought that he was going to do that in AEW, but clearly that didn't work. I don't know. Again, I'm not there. I wish I was a fly on the wall, because sometimes you want to know why your favorites aren't doing the things that they want and you also want. But that's, you know, a story for a different day. So, you want to talk about the Jeff Jarrett stuff?
Yeah.
Do you? Well, the only thing I can say is I rarely say to myself that I couldn't possibly love MJF more, and then I do.
Yeah.
Because what I hope that is going to happen now is MJF beats the ever living shit out of Double J. I will love forever MJF for this. Please, please, I will make another drink video for you, sir. I will not. That was it. Wow. I can't wait, man. Salt of the earth. Yes, please. All over him while you cook.
We got a super chat from Tyler. Thank you. Says Rob and Maggie, greater than Hogan and Blanchard.
Well, that is the low bar.
I'll take it.
Yes, thank you, sweetie, for the super chat. Thank you for the awesome donations, guys. Thank you for showing up.
I don't know if he's maybe asking what we thought about Hogan and Blanchard, maybe. That could be.
Will be talking about.
Yeah. Maybe that's
Hogan.
I don't know. Maybe that's what that meant.
Well, we are greater than Hogan.
Well, yeah, we're definitely better than that. But the Jeff Jarrett thing, it was kind of weird, but
it's not weird. It's awesome.
I just thought it was like he's been getting like monster pops, and for him are monster pops. I mean, they're not really monster pops for anyone else. But it's very like weird. It's like, what are they trying to do? Like, let's get going with whatever you guys are trying to do with it. You know, I thought
Double J.
The way they like did the battle royal thing, I thought that was odd.
I love you, Yuta. I love you, man.
But I thought it was really weird how how that all happened, and then I found that just odd.
It's not odd. It's just justice.
Yeah. Well, should we go ahead and just do Cooper Effect before we move on to Raw?
We haven't spoken everything about Dynamite.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, like the end stuff, you know, the most important things, the Kenny return to Dynamite.
Oh, true. Forgot about that.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
Shout out to you. Yes, it is. Shout out to Tony Storm, Chris Statlander, and Willow, that amazing triple threat. Willow is the best. Also, shout out to our friend Doc, Chris Mueller, who, by the way, interviewed Julia Hart today, and like he said, cannot wait what the future brings to Julia. I can't wait to hear that interview, by the way. So the show ended with Kenny Omega in the ring. He was really open about, you know, his entire situation. I've said this before and I will never stop saying it. I'm amazed at how often I forget how well-spoken Kenny Omega is. And I should stop forgetting that, because he's incredibly, you know, professional when it comes to those sorts of speeches, because he had another speech after Dynamite was off the air, which was a bit more comical. So he said that he returned because this is what he was meant to do, and he was no longer driven by money. He was no longer driven by revenge. And at that point, Don Callis came out. And then Kenny went for revenge. And I'm like, you just said that you weren't here for revenge anymore. What? Be consistent, sweetie. Like, that's not how we do it here. And so that was a total lady boner, by the way. He immediately ran out of the gate. He almost didn't get to say anything on a mic. He was like, and then he got beat up. So, of course, the Don Callis family came out and started attacking Kenny. A little piece of me thought that the Young Bucks were going to come out, but they didn't. Who came out was Will Ospreay. And then I had a heart attack. So, after I gathered myself, because I was all over the floor, the incredible, I'm so sorry for using this, but this is exactly what it is. This is long-term storytelling here, because I hope you guys realize that Will Ospreay was the weapon that Don Callis used to stab Kenny Omega in the back. So Will Ospreay felt the need to repair that huge mistake that he did in his eyes and help out Kenny Omega here with Don Callis and everyone in that entire family. This came full circle here, all of it. And you could see in Ospreay's eyes that he wasn't rescuing Kenny because he wants to be his friend. He looked him dead in the eyes and he said, "I just saved your ass, bitch." So, like, so I suppose that they're going to have, you know, tag team matches, because we're going to see Kenny Omega back in the ring next week on Dynamite against Brian Cage. What I'm looking forward to in this match is seeing Kenny Omega lift up Brian Cage in the air and, like, delivering a one win and angel. I don't know what that would look like. But I'm sure as hell hope that Kenny Omega stays safe in this match.
See, what you're saying is he's making the
sacrifice.
How long did you wait for that?
I waited till a good setup and it
took. Okay. Yes, he is making the sacrifice with his body. Thank you, Rob. You're what did you think about that? You know, this entire full circle Ospreay Kenny. Oh my god,
about time. Like, but I understand, like, I understand, obviously. I mean, it's one of those things where there's two things about it. I'm glad they're finally they're finally getting on with it, obviously, you know, and there's a reason why it took so long, obviously. I know that, I'm not dumb. The other thing too is I'm glad they just didn't have I'm just glad they didn't just like let him go back to normal, like, oh, everything's okay now, Doc, like Don, blah blah blah. Like, I'm glad they didn't go that route, especially with the Young Bucks too. That's the last thing I want, and we're gonna kind of get into that here when we talk about Raw, but yeah, like just basically forget it is what I did not want them to do, and they didn't. I did kind of find it comical. Maybe comical is not the right word, but I did find it amusing that I'm forgetting the past, and then all of a sudden Don Callis goes out there and he's ready to just. But I can see that Don Callis has that effect on people, you know. So,
yes, yes.
I mean, that's the thing. Don Callis has that effect on people, so I get why he did that.
Yeah, I understand. So Tyler sent us another super chat. Let's discuss this, and we hop into Cooper Effect after that. The next one.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes, Great points, thank you.
Maggie. Question for you both. Which AEW team has had the best run as trios champs? Who would you like to see win next?
The House of Black were the best trios champions. In my eyes, at least. Because like I know that there weren't that many trios champions. But I feel like the tag division just lost its edge at some point, and then they were like, well, let's make a trios division too. And I'm like, why? Your tag division is not that good. Why do you think a trios division will be better? And then they you know, because of everything that happened with the whole Punk situation and stuff like that, I just, the triple run for the Bucks and Kenny, you know, the Elite Trios belts thing was put to an end, and then it got restarted. It was a whole mess of a situation, and that's why I actually think that House of Black were, you know, I'm gonna be biased here. I'm sorry. This is like House of Black for me was the odd group out of the rest of the trios division, and what I wanted House of Black to be in AEW was their own House of Blackie version of the Shield. This was what I wanted. Like, for them to be those guys that people are terrified of. This is what I wanted. And we never reached that thing. And I'm just kind of sad about it. Thank you, Tyler, again for your super chat.
I don't know what this is in reference to, but I probably did something or said something.
Yes, who do you think it was, the trios?
I know who had the longest run. I think were the Acclaimed with Billy Gunn, I think had the longest run. Gotcha. It was the Sacrifice clip you said. That's why. Cool. But they had the longest run, but I wouldn't say it's the best run. I definitely wouldn't say it's the run with what they have now, because hell, I forgot who had them for the longest. I would have to say, it's going to sound weird, but Bullet Club Gold, like, actually entertained me when they had them.
Oh, yeah, they were incredibly entertaining.
That's probably my favorite one. I mean,
but Clown is right in the chat. Death Triangle were also really good.
Yeah. I mean, they were good. I mean, they just seemed like they didn't. They had them for a little while, too, I think a couple of months, but it just didn't. Maybe it's because my memory sucks. I don't really.
Oh, yeah. Both of our memories suck, Rob.
Like, but I remember being somewhat entertained with Bullet Club. Easy for me to say. Bullet Club Gold holding them. But I think that was just, they entertain me easily. But,
you know, the incredibly stupid thing is that both Rob and I have been on the show for like 3 years now. And we were bitching and moaning about Pac being a champion and AEW, because like for the longest time he wasn't, then he was a international champion, and then he wasn't, and we were bitching about that. And now he's trios champion again, and none of us we have to keep reminding ourselves that he has a title in AEW, because all of the championships that the Death Riders have are gone. The AEW championship is in a fucking briefcase, allegedly, because we haven't seen it in a while. And then all of the members of the trio champions just randomly go out without their championships. Why is this happening? You have 1,000 belts on your show and you're pushing the champions without them carrying the belts themselves. What the fuck is this? Thank you for listening to my bitching. I wish I didn't have to. But if you're going to make more belts, why? Let's Rob do the Cooper Fag, because I'm pissed off here right now.
Okie dokie. Cooper Fag coming right up. All right, guys. So today's Cooper Effect has something to do with the unfortunate LA or Southern California fires that we all know about. And I'm going to tell you about a lady that's been doing a lot for what's been going on out there. So Annie Harvelitz. She's 47. What happened is she's a Los Angeles veterinarian, and she has taken in dozens of animals as her owners have had to flee the raging Palisades fire, sacrificing like for their own health and safety. And what she did, she opened her own home and empty pet hospital to more than 40 dog and cats, along with a lone rabbit named Oreo, because their owners simply don't have the space or resources to bring the pets with them. She told the New York Post that she had a family bring in 10 dogs and they had to leave behind their horses. She said, "To me, this is a no-brainer. I looked around and said, I have a lot of space here. I can help." And that's exactly what she did. She took in these animals. She runs two animal hospitals in the LA area. She began welcoming the fire displaced pets into the Animal Wellness Center in Marina Del Rey shortly after the blaze broke out this past Tuesday. She has also taken in 4 animals into her own home near the LA airport. The hospital is roughly 12 miles away from the rapidly growing wildfire, which has forced tens of thousands of people in Southern California to evacuate their homes because of the Santa Ana winds that have been fanning the flames. She's been coordinating pet rescues and care for animals as basically ash rains down from the, let's be honest, the apocalyptic looking sky out there. She's talked about that she hasn't been able to sleep and her eyes are hurting from all the smoke, but she's doing it because she loves these animals and wants to take care of them. So she is our Cooper Effect of the week. She's doing so much for these amazing pets, and she's something else. So our kudos to her, and we need more people like her in our life. And so thank you, Annie. And yeah, that's our Cooper Effect for this week, because she deserves it.
Stories like this is what the Cooper Effect is all about. Because like all of us know that we live in an incredibly hard world. A lot of things are happening really fast. And you know how weird everything is, because we get to learn about way more evil that is out there and none of the good. And of course, I'm going to quote David Lynch again, balance is everything, and balance is the key to everything. And there are a lot of good things happening around the world, but you just don't hear about it because for some reason people react to the bad stuff way more. They interact with it more. It gets the clicks, you know, and this is the sad thing about humans and about social media as well, of course. And this is why Rob and I decided to do the Cooper Effect, is to highlight the good so you can appreciate it more. And just thank you, Rob, for, because this is Rob's Cooper Effect. And well, it's, you guys know that every time Rob finds a Cooper Effect, it's
this one came from Ophelia, so she helped on this one. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, so we went from that, but I want to share like a, something. We went from something like sad but good. I want to send some show, tell you a very quick humorous story. I have a buddy who doesn't, he does not watch wrestling much. Like, he did watch Raw, like, because everybody else and their mother did. And, he decided to, he decided to get on the web the next day. He just wanted to see what
the
people
web.
Were thinking. Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, I got on the web to check WWE.com to see what was going on. And he's never watched NXT, but this is what he sent me a text. He goes, if WWE has a guy that's pretending he is Gene Wilder, I'm
oh
in.
Oh, my God.
And I died. So he, because he, like, he had no idea. Like, that's just what he assumed. So he said, if WWE has a guy that's pretending he's Gene Wilder, I am in. And I'm like, that is first off amazing, but I didn't tell him. I didn't say a word. I just said, ha ha.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's great. That's all I said. He's great. That's all I told him. So I'll let him find out on his own. But when he said that, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that would be fantastic.
Yes.
If that was like his gimmick, because my God.
Yes.
Charlie Dempsey. So anybody that's listening to this, they had no idea who I was talking about, but Charlie Dempsey, if you look at his most recent NXT promo photo for his match against Alexis King,
I don't think it's a photo that they'll be using in the future, because that's just a New Year's Evil graphic for the match itself. I don't think that they're gonna.
Yeah, no, I know, but
because he's had that facial hair for like a month or so.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that he reconsiders and just takes it off. So we're already on the WWE topic. So Raw finally debuted on Netflix. Should we give our thanks to Netflix now, or just randomly? Thank you, Netflix. I love you, Netflix. Hi.
It was a good, premiere.
Okay. So it was a better premiere than last week's Dynamite was. Like, that's.
Okay.
It wasn't like for me, but, and if you know, people didn't catch up with our show last week, it's my own fault that I didn't like last week's premiere of Dynamite on HBO, because I hyped myself up for a lot of things that didn't end up happening, and the show was fine. I was just at fault because I thought, like, you know, a bunch of stuff was going to happen, and they didn't. So that's on me. I liked Raw more, but the bar was low. So, like, that's, it opened up with an incredible video package that, you know, gave me a bit of goosebumps. And then all they started saying, face and heel and stuff, and I'm like, what is happening? and our very own Jeremy Lambert, he said it perfectly. Welcome to Netflix. This is fake. This is exactly how it sounded. But listen, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that I had a problem with this, because I promise you, I had no problem with this. I understand why people are mad when some, you know, these sorts of things, you know, start happening on their television, and then The Rock comes out and just with one sentence buries a year worth of storytelling with Cody Rhodes, and then he drinks vodka in front of the very bus that he almost killed him in front of. Like, that is the weirdest shit. I understand why people are mad about this. Like, you know, the package thing. I'm absolutely okay with it. But I understand that people are saying, well, you don't see Daenerys Targaryen going to Jon Snow and saying, don't worry, those dragons are CGI. Like, because, you know, this practically means that they know that this is fake. Like, this is them being incredibly self-aware in a show that they're not supposed to be self-aware of. I suppose that these are, you know, the same people that had a problem with the curtain call way back in the day. But yes, those are, you know, the old school people that are incredibly invested in kayfabe and things. I had zero problem with this. What I did have a problem was the Rock thing. So I'm always going to be incredibly excited when the Rock comes on my television, because, like I said before, the Rock was the one to get me into wrestling, and the Rock got me back to wrestling. And I will always be grateful for the Rock. But like that, like this, a certain thing happened. Then he then got out to NXT. He had clearly no clue what he was going to say, and he was incredibly truthful with his daughter. Did they continue not acknowledging that they're father and daughter? None whatsoever. And
that's probably a good thing, though.
Sure. Okay, that's I'm fine with that. But like, all out of all of the things, the, you know, the real life things that they can acknowledge, this is the one that's perfectly fine, you know. Yeah. And then they do others. So the Rock was like, I'm always 20 or 30 steps ahead. I always plan ahead. And I'm like, dude, you wanted to murder the guy. Like, keep just... And I laughed at the cheeky say hi to Mama Rhodes for me. I laughed at that. Like, that's old school Mama Rock Rhodes. There. Mama Rhodes. Yeah, I laughed at that. But like, it's... I want to know what you gave to him on the Raw after WrestleMania. When did he break your heart, Rock? What happened with that? So I want to know. It's like, what? It's, what are those 20 steps ahead that you're talking about? What do they mean? What do you mean? What did you give Cody Rhodes? What did he put in his pocket? Was it the watch thing? Tell me. I don't care if they're going to have a match or not. What did he give him? That's all I want to know. Like, what do you give? What? Don't you ever break my heart again? What do you mean again? Did... What? Why? This is what I want an answer to. And this isn't a David Lynch thing that you need to use your brain to find certain things out. No, this does not make sense. You are not a well-built character on my television, and I do not accept you. This is Ben Horn losing his mind in the second season all over again. This makes zero sense right now. I'm sorry to all of the people who have no idea what I'm talking about. Watch Twin Peaks, please.
We have a super chat from Van Twin Blade. He says, petition to defenestrate Hulk Hogan.
Yes, that thing also happened. Please share your thoughts with the Rock thing and Cody Rhodes thing before we get to talking about Hulk Hogan. Did you have a problem with this, with the video package and everything that the Rock said?
I love the video
you
package to kick off Raw. I like Triple H.
It was really heelish.
Yeah, I like Triple H doing his thing. The Rock coming out doing his thing. I thought I could have gone without the kissing the ass of the Netflix execs, but I get it. They do that. They did that with Fox when they went to Fox. They did that when they came back to USA Network. Those guys like to get their ass kissed, so whatever. That's fine. It reminds me of Christmas Vacation. Kiss his ass. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Go F yourself. Like that scene. But it is what it is. But I enjoyed the opening stuff. The matches were good. The matches were solid. Seth versus Punk was better than I thought it'd be, so that was good. I'm just saying. Like, I'm just getting my points out of the way. But yeah, I didn't have any problem with the opening and like the Rock thing. I know why some people are upset about it, but I also understand why they just did it because he's not going to be wrestling anytime soon. Likely things change with him, we know, but it's one of those things where he just needs to be the face for needs to be a face for a little bit, like within that company, and this is a way to do it. So there you go. I mean, that's the way I see it.
And then the Hulk Hogan stuff happened.
Yeah, that. I want to talk about that. Let me go first on this one.
Sure.
The fact that, I mean, Sean talked about that, like in his Fightful Select report, that how some people were surprised by this. This baffles the hell out of me that this surprised people, like in WWE. Like, how does this surprise you? He's been getting booed for a while now, like for the most part. I mean, like, he's supposed to be in. He was advertised. I don't know if he still is, but he was advertised for the next Saturday Night main event that's going to be taking place on the 25th of January in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, if I'm WWE, and just for his benefit, I mean, I don't really give a damn what they do for Hulk Hogan. I really don't give a damn about Hulk Hogan, but for their own benefit, I wouldn't put him on TV. They made it awkward, and I mean, it got so awkward that people that don't know what's going on about wrestling, they went and found out, they found out why people were booing. And I mean, there's some people that are saying, oh, it's a Trump thing. I'm like, it's not that. It's no, not. It's
Undertaker it's was cheered.
Yeah. Like it's not that. It's because of the things that man has said. That's why. It's not a politics thing.
It's not political.
Yeah, it's not shitty things that man has said thing. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's why he got booed. WWE has part ownership in this beer, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Somebody just didn't do their business, their research. I mean, this is just not.
Well, I don't think that this is a job that only one person does. And like,
no, I know. Whoever is part of it, like, I just don't get it. Like, research wise, he hasn't been popular. Like, why go with his beer when you could go with Stone Cold's beer or something, you know? So, and
again, yeah. I don't think that this is one person's job. I don't think this is one person's fault, because if they say yes to them, how come no one in that company said, hey, probably not? So it's like.
Yeah, and this is something too. Corey makes a good point. The thing is, Hogan has never put any real effort into making things right with everyone. Mark Henry said it the other day. Like, it's just.
Absolutely. No. Like, zero accountability for anything whatsoever. Like, that is the problem. Like, I will never be so high and mighty to say that people can change, because I do believe that people can change. Because people change for the worse all the time. You cannot tell me that the opposite isn't. isn't possible too. So I believe that people can absolutely change for the better. But the way to do it is for you to, you know, talk with the people that you hurt in the past and, you know, make amends for, you know, for the things. The thing is that he absolutely knows what he's talking about. He knows whatever he's saying is wrong, but like he acknowledges it. It's not like he's in that mentality that he has no idea what he's saying. No, he does. He just doesn't. He's just racist. He's just a racist human being. Like that's it.
I don't have any. It sucks because I used to love the man when I was a kid, you know, like I was a Hulk Hogan kid, you know, and thing is, you find out about people and you just move on. Like they're not who you think they are. So like,
yes. Concerning this, yes, you were a fan of Hulk Hogan as a child. For me, that's not the deal because I was never Hulk Hogan. I was never a Hulk Hogan fan.
Yeah.
I was never a Ric Flair fan too. I'm sorry, like I could never. I'm not emotionally invested in either of them. But the thing is, no one is, because if your defense for Hulk Hogan is that you were watching him as a child and he's your favorite wrestler and everything, if this is your defense for the guy, no one is taking your Hulk Hogan memories away from you. No one is doing that. You can appreciate everything that Hulk Hogan has done for wrestling, and that is a fact because that guy has done a lot for wrestling. No one is telling you that you have to erase that person from wrestling memory from start to finish. No one is making you do that. The thing that people are making you realize is the things that he did at, like, everything that he does, it doesn't erase the past.
Correct. Yeah.
That is it.
Yep. And, yeah, that's pretty much what Ophelia said here. You can still recognize their contributions, but not like the person or support them now. Most people realize that they can't be separate.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. Peggy's absolutely right here.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the thing. It was a good. I thought it was a solid Raw. John Cena, I liked his segment.
He was so over the hill. He was the most John Cena that I've seen him in a long while.
That's him, though. That's what I liked about it. That was John Cena.
Absolutely. Because I know that this is the last John Cena that we're getting. And I will not be crapping on that man. Because once he's gone, and it will hit me that he's gone. So I will not be. I'm so certain that he's going to win the Rumble. I really am. I think that he's going to face Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania.
His dad said in an interview that he wants him to face Gunther.
Sure. I mean, he can face Gunther, but like, I'm not okay with the fact that he's probably going to beat Gunther, and I do not want that.
Yeah.
No. Let's also acknowledge the fact that Roman Reigns beat Solo Sikoa for the Oofalafa, and he's now
which you can order at Waffle Chief. House for $9.99.
Yes. Thank you to LA Knight, who forever ruined this for me. I couldn't say Ulafala with a straight face anymore. Just thank you, LA Knight. Jesus. So the thing that closed the show was CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Did you get the chance to listen or watch to the Chris Van Vliet interview with Seth Rollins?
I have not yet, but I will.
Such an emotionally fascinating interview. I listened to it today while running errands.
Chris is so damn good at what he does.
Oh, Chris is amazing. The fact that he's really friends with all these people and they just, you know, have a really easy time talking to the guy. He's so outgoing.
He's trustworthy. That's
of course he's a professional. I mean,
yeah.
Amazing interview. Anyone that hasn't listened to or watched it, please go out of your way. Like, it's a 2-hour interview. I understand why it's a bit much, but it flies by because, like, Seth is incredibly passionate, and then you can feel the emotion in everything that he was talking about. I know Fightful got a lot of articles out of that interview. We're not going to talk about so much of the, about, you know, the interview, but so I get it that you liked the match.
Yeah, I thought it was a good match.
Okay, I hated the match.
Ooh,
okay. And not because of the outcome. I always knew that CM Punk was going to win. But for me, the match was a lot of the person doing the other person's finisher, pedigree on the announce table. 1, 2, 3, CM Punk wins. It was, I could see that they were holding back because from the way the match ended and the stare off that they had at the end, we all know that we are getting 2 more matches. This is going to be a trilogy, or at least one more match, at least one more. So for Punk, he just got out of a previous trilogy with Drew McIntyre, so I don't know where this goes. The thing is that after the interview with Chris Van Vliet, I don't know how this is going to be the only match that we have between them. He talked a lot about CM Punk, man. Like, that's a lot on his mind, a lot. And I just... I know where CM Punk's pros and cons are. He's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers forever. And just have in mind that for me, wrestler doesn't necessarily mean an in-ring competitor. I mean a storyteller, I mean a promo act, I mean body language and everything. This is what also I consider to be a wrestler, not only in the ring. So for me, Seth Rollins will always be leaps and bounds ahead of CM Punk when it comes to in-ring passion and in-ring storytelling. Because Punk, for me, he was always the mic guy. He was always the guy to make a match interesting because of the way that he leads the match. And this, you can see that both of these people protected each other a lot in this match. And this I will always praise because you can obviously tell that there is absolutely 100% legitimate animosity between the two of them, but they're still incredibly professional enough to keep each other safe. Because they're both prone to injury. CM Punk a bit more than Seth Rollins because Seth Rollins is a bit younger. He can recuperate faster. And so they kept each other safe. And at the end of the match, Punk asked the ref to check up on Seth. So hats off to Punk about that. So I'm excited to see where this leads to. I do feel like we are going to get CM Punk versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I do believe that this is where we're heading. But the match itself, I don't know, man, because maybe it was too hype. Maybe for me, it didn't live up to the hype again. This is my own fault. But I could see that everyone on you know, on the internet loved the match and praised the match. And I'm like, am I the only one that didn't like actually the match? But so you liked it. So it's...
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. I mean, I knew what I was getting, I think, so...
Yeah, yeah.
But,
I mean, yeah. I'm sure that we're not going to get, you know, in-ring masterpieces out of, you know, Punk. What we do get to have is amazing lead-up to every important match that he has. And that's really important. And that's why I love the guy. Because, like... Yeah. we get that. And that's always incredibly, incredibly, you know, important when it comes to wrestling. But as a whole, a lot of wonderful praises I can give to the debut episode of Raw on Netflix, because the production was incredible. Everything, you know, drone shots, like, please do these more. Those are the Puerto Rican drone shots, you know, that we got from the, what was Backlash, right? Yeah, it was Backlash. Let's make those a thing, because they're really, really good. The atmosphere was amazing. You know, the Titantrons and the lights. I understand that people didn't like the lights, but I think that it looked really fresh, really great. You know, that entire arena was really good in my... the black mat on the ring is something that I'm going to have to get used to. Do you remember the Black and Gold NXT had the black mat on the ring? I love that. I really love that. But I understand that this is the one thing that people didn't like about the Black and Gold NXT era, that everything was a bit dark, and I love that, man. I don't know. I love the dark atmosphere of NXT Black and Gold, but I'm a metalhead. I'm sorry. That's just, you know. But I'm going to have to get used to the black mat, but not the black mat itself, but like the commercials on it. I love the fact that Sean understands his job so well that the first thing that he asked the wrestlers was if those commercials things were slippery. And I adore Sean for asking that right out of the gate. But you can tell that Sean has been in the ring. Like, that's because, like, I was watching at those, you know, plates on the mat, and I was like, are they this made of the same material as the mat, or are they, you know, is it a different surface? Does it do something else for the wrestlers when walking on top of them? You know, I had these sorts of questions. So thank you to Sean that asked them this. I am so in love with the new ref gear. It looks so clean, man, so smart. And, you know, it has the stripe on it. Like, they're really nice shade of gray, and then they have the black stripe. I am so incredibly in love with that, because, like, I understand that it's a classic thing, you know, with the black and white stripes when it comes to referees. But, like, a lot of sports doesn't have that. You know, football doesn't have that anymore. Like, they're a bright UV color, probably, that's murder on my eyes. But, like, you can get away from that and do something that is, you know, unique for your brand. And I love the referee gear. It is so good. I adore it. As a whole, Raw was good. I mean, it was... I kind of saw that they tried to make it a love letter to wrestling, and then they got Hulk Hogan out, and that's it. No, just do not do that. But how did you feel about, you know, the difference of the atmosphere of Raw in itself? Did you like it?
I thought it overall was real, real solid. I enjoyed it. I thought overall it was a fun show. I thought, real quick, I think NXT was good. I liked the way NXT unfolded. I liked the new champs. I'm glad they pulled the trigger on Julia and Oba.
Oba Femi!
And I liked how Raw ended with The Rock. I thought it was pretty good. So overall, I enjoyed NXT, and you know me, I don't say that often. So I liked NXT this week, and wrestling, I think, was very solid over the past week and a half. So, well, since we last talked, I think it's been really solid. So
wrestling is good. Wrestling is really, really good.
Well, do you have anything else you want to say about NXT before we wrap up? Or
I love Oba Femi finally being champion. The Rock's, you know, gibberish at the end of NXT was, I didn't mind it, you know, as a whole.
Something I do want to add to that is, like his segment, his spot with Ethan Page was fantastic. And what I loved about that is
oh my god.
Afterward, Dylan Postel, aka Hornswoggle, who is very good friends with Ethan Page, said he was watching it, and he said, knowing how much that meant to my friend makes me so happy. And that, like, that was something I know, like, I've heard that he wanted to do so bad. He wanted to have, like, he wanted to do something with The Rock at least once. And the fact that he
I love that for him.
Badass. So kudos, congrats to him, because he is a very nice person. He does his character work so well, but he's a very...
I love Ethan Page. Yeah, we're all egomaniacs.
Yeah, so yes. Congratulations to him. I know, just based off that tweet and just what I've seen, and I'm actually very happy for the guy that he got to do that. So, and it's good for the talent, like, for The Rock to be around, because that not only benefits him, that puts, like, maybe a little extra motivation on their part too, you know, when they get, like, the big names there. I mean, granted, they got Shawn Michaels always teaching them things, but let's be honest, Shawn Michaels is not The Rock, you know, when it comes to the world phenomenon type thing. So that was good.
One thing from NXT caught my attention, and I'm a bit pissed off about that. So during the match between Roxy and Julia, because Corey Graves was on commentary for this week's NXT, I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing. I don't think that booth needs three people. Yeah. But Corey Graves is an amazing commentator. I will always like Corey Graves. He's improved immensely over the years. So he was watching Julia compete in the ring. And did you know, do you remember what he said? Do you pay attention to NXT commentary? Because I tend not to, because Booker T is there. And it really annoys me because Booker T goes out of his way to sound like that. And he's absolutely completely normal person who can talk like a normal person. But, like, for some reason, he's in that ridiculous character that he has on commentary. So, Corey is a permanent move. Okay.
Man, that's like a demotion.
So Corey Graves said that Julia reminds him of Nakamura, but a Wrestle Kingdom version of Nakamura. This is exactly what Corey Graves said on commentary. And I'm like, okay, so I'm glad that they're, you know, continue to acknowledge the fact that there are other promotions out there. Good. Okay, kudos to that. But the thing that they're acknowledging here is that they do not have the best version of Nakamura. He just said on commentary that the best version of Nakamura is the New Japan version of Nakamura. And, like, that pissed me off a bit, because, and at the moment that he said that on commentary, and I was like, oh my God, he's the United States champion. Because we got a vignette from Nakamura on that past week's SmackDown.
He's defending his title tonight against LA Knight.
Good. He should beat him. Nakamura should beat LA.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. But, like, thank you for having your champions on the show. That's, you know, all I'm going to say. I hope that Roxanne Perez makes her debut on the Rumble. And I still have no idea who wins the Rumble, the Women's Rumble, but I hope it's her. And I hope she wins the Rumble while being an NXT star, just so they have the ability to say NXT superstar Roxanne Perez won the Royal Rumble. I feel like this is something important that they should do. she also absolutely deserves it. So yeah, that's about enough about NXT.
Alrighty. Well, Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter if you still do that, at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK, which is the stupidest thing ever. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for showing up with your donations. All of them will be donated to the LA Animal Care Center. Thank you for Rob for, you know, making that happen. And please plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. And then, like Maggie said, basically every Friday, join us right here for Fightful Overbooked. Coexisting with Rob and Maggie right here on Fightful Overbooked. I'm all flustered now for whatever reason. But we had a good time. We always have a good time. And we want to say thank you for everybody for joining us. And want to say thank you for just tuning in. We really do appreciate you guys so much. It means a lot to us that you hang out with us for an hour and a half and just listen to us talk nonsense. You know, we have fun doing it, and because of you, we get to do stuff like that. So I want to say thank you very much for that, and we will see you guys next week for another edition of Coexisting. Peace, my friends.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, StarKist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.